And the next pitch to Martinez, a swing and a slow chopper toward third. Here comes Bryant on to first. And the Cubs have won the World Series. A moment that many thought might never happen has happened here in Cleveland. For the first time in 108 years, the Chicago Cubs are World Series champions.
Chicago Sports Conversation is now The Beat on 720 WGN.
I always had confidence, Dan Schulman, ESPN Radio. There was never a doubt in my 43 years of life, in the 108-year drought, that I would be sitting here today with Harry Tynowitz celebrating a Chicago Cubs World Series. I mean, I didn't exactly have the vision of being with you, Harry, or being with anyone. I just always knew this day would come, except for the days that I didn't know it would come. The Chicago Cubs won the World Series. Hi.
Hi. See, I always envisioned that I would be with you. I always, every time I envisioned it, I was with you, and I was with Belinda Carlisle. But as it happens, it is a, just, I mean, it's such a special thing. You know, I mean, I watch the World Series every year. I love baseball. I love all sports. I watch every game, every sport, and to have the Cubs get so close last year and then get, you know, no soup for you in the NLCS, and the way they responded, 103 wins in the regular season and then dancing to the crown and that crazy, crazy finish to Game 7, this is just awesome for Cubs fans. It's awesome for the world.
We're starting the show today with you, 312-981-7200. A lot of stuff to do along the way here. I was in Cleveland, very fortunate to be there. Thank you to Todd Manley, Dave Enn at WGN, and everybody for sending me. So we're going to play some of that audio today, some of it tomorrow. I've got Albert Elmora Jr. Queued up for you at around 3:50 today. Jason Hayward about his speech in the 5 o'clock hour. Kerry Wood, who was pretty emotional.
Woody.
Woody's going to be on. We're also going to talk to former Cub Brian McCray. But like right now as we start, we've had a couple days now. They won it on Wednesday. Today is Saturday. How is your life different, and sort of let's you know, how does it feel different for you today as a Cub fan? But going back to Wednesday, right before midnight, when it happened and how it sunk in. I mean, Harry, I was, you know, behind the right field foul pole, upper corner, probably the worst seat in the house and the best seat ever all at the same time. And I just like slumped back into my seat with Kevin Powell videotaping me, and I don't. And it wasn't like, okay, I don't know what to do here.
You guys do that way too often, by the way. Yeah. Videotaping each other.
Yeah, it's a little creepy. And it just, you know, the whole emotion of the moment, like when they were tied at 6, I thought it was going to be the worst loss ever, and I didn't know how long it was going to take me to get over it. As in, I would never get over it. Like, you just never get over 84. You never get over 03. Now it feels like it was nothing, and the whole thing was a great journey. But right when it happened, you know, it was a huge, huge, huge relief. And then now it's just kind of like settling. Like, we don't have to hear all the nonsense anymore, right? There's just something about that that's resonating to me that's just glorious.
I think for a lot of Cubs fans, it is, you know, sort of a vindication, you know, for all the time we spent, all the afternoons I spent watching the Cubs on WGN TV, all the years spent listening to, Cubbies on the radio, whether it was as a little kid listening to Vince and Lou or Pat and Ron and then Pat and Ron again. It was all my friends laughing at me. I can't believe you're staying in on a gorgeous day to watch the Cubs. I can't believe you're still watching the Cubs. I can't believe you're still listening to the Cubs. This is vindication. The Cubs came through. Tom Ricketts showed up and said, we are going to, you know, spare no expense to bring a championship here. Theo Epstein showed up, said, here's the plan. I'm going to knock it all down, and in 5 years, we'll be one of the best teams in baseball. And I'll be damned if these guys, Ricketts and Theo, didn't, you know, come through with their plan. Vindication. Fly the W flag and then fly the V flag right next to it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting texts from guys that I grew up with, and who were diehard Sox fans. I got one message from one of them on Facebook, and he's saying, we've been battling about this since we were 5, and you finally have the upper hand today. Congratulations, really happy for you. Like, it's like, there's a lot of my diehard White Sox fans who, I mean, we would brawl back in the day on, and I know it's not about Cubs Sox right now, but there's like a small part of it that is, that we would brawl back in the day when they would play exhibition games.
Right.
That was a big.
Steve Lyons playing nine positions.
Yeah, that was a big deal because they never played before Interleague. Those games were a big thing for a 10-year-old.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
It just was. So there was always that stuff going on. And I'm just getting these, you know, a million messages from, you know, different people that I've connected around the park from. But it's cool just that part of it too, right?
Oh,
of course. You just feel like, oh my God, I feel so, like I don't have to like have this burden of you're a Cub fan, you'll never win. Like that was irritating at the bare minimum.
I got to tell you, as far as Sox fans go, I have been quite impressed with how classy the Sox fans have been. I have gotten texts, phone calls, emails from Sox fans, and they're all legitimately happy that the Cubs have won the World Series. I'm getting stuff like, hey, congrats, you know, you guys deserved it. You were the best team this year. This is great for baseball. This is great for Chicago. I've got so many friends. Hey, what class, you know, that the Sox fans are showing. I'm getting texts from guys that I haven't heard from in 25 years, Mark. I'm getting texts from guys, do you remember you took me to see the Cubs and the Expos? You took me to see, you know, the Cubs and the Padres, and we went, you know, it's like people are coming out of the woodwork because, you know, to us, it's our favorite team ever. But to other people, they had that one day where they got to go to Wrigley Field.
Right.
You know, and they remember it. Like, I got to go to the Indy 500 once. You know, there were certain things, you know, you get to do once and, you know, it sticks in the back of your head. But this is just so great for the team, for the fans. And there is a true connect. Maybe I'm, you know, I want to believe it, but I really believe that this the team and the fans connect and the players, you know, kept saying it again yesterday during the parade.
Yeah, I went to college at the University of Iowa. Go Hawks.
Yes.
So there's so many people.
Might have spent one night in jail there.
That was in Chicago. But
oh, okay.
Iowa City, I remained free of prison. That was good. So,
wish I could say the same.
I took a lot of people from college to their first game, right? Bulls games too back in the day. So I'm getting a ton of those calls. Like, hey, man, you made me a Cub fan. It's like, whoa, did I really? I don't even remember going there with you, I guess. That's awesome. I mean, most of them I do. But some of them, it's like, I don't even remember that moment. But it's cool to hear from somebody like that. I mean, I graduated college in 1996. It's 2016.
Think of all the times that we went out to the park and the Cubs were 22 games out of first place. Think of all the times we would watch him on TV or listen to him on the radio, and the Cubs were in last place, you know, with no chance of ever doing anything other than winning that afternoon. It was an escape. You know, when they say, you know, if you're ever worried about something, close your eyes and go to your happy place. My happy place is behind the first base dugout, about 13 rows up at Wrigley Field. And now it is not just like, you know, a cool place, you know, to be at because Babe Ruth called his shot there and then it's got so much history. It's a cool place to be because the best team in baseball plays there.
Yeah, that part of it, the whole connection to the park. I mean, I walked the steps vending there for years.
Yes, you did.
Many, many.
You hustled.
Hustled those steps, making that money, the whole deal. But having fun, too. I mean, for, you know, somebody in college who has no vision, didn't even think about having a vision of what they were going to do with their career, and just wanted to have a job they didn't hate and work at, you know, whatever, some retail store or something like that. For somebody like me, that would have been absolute death. I just couldn't do it. I get to go to the park and walk up and down and sell Frosty Malts and I make $50. Great. That's a win. And at the end of the year, when I would be either A, going back to school, or B, as my vending career continued into parts of my life that it shouldn't have, and the year's over, you know, and even on a regular day, I would still do like a little heart tap, fist pump, look at the scoreboard, look at the field, whatever it was, and it was always sad to leave every single time. You don't like walking out of there. It feels like home on some level in a weird sports way.
Right, but both the papers did so much, you know, great coverage of the Cubs World Series championship. The Tribune did something yesterday where they asked each of their photographers to pick out their favorite photo. And one guy picked a picture of the scoreboard from World Series Game 1. Mm-hmm. And it's just a scoreboard, and there's no people in it. There's no Cub fans in it. It's, you know, it's the W flag is, I'm sorry, it'd be Game 3. You know, the W flag is missing, I believe, because the Indians might have won Game 3. But he said that he wanted to show the scoreboard with just two teams playing.
Yep.
Because that meant that the Cubs had finally arrived at the World Series.
Right. Getting there was cool. Winning it was better. That was amazing.
Winning it was so much better.
Was 1,000 times better. I was unwilling to live in a world where the Cubs didn't win the World Series in 2016. I said that about 1,000 times on this station.
Were you going to end it all?
No, of course not. But I just didn't want to consider it. That team deserved to win the World Series. They just did. They were the best team in baseball all season long. Every single guy on that team, even Miguel Montero, who's talking out today about how he wasn't told clearly what his role was in an interview with ESPN 1000. Whatever. They're all great. I think they were just so likable and so deserving and so hardworking. The season needed to end the way it did. Not necessarily the whole down 3-1, insane 6-6 tie after leading 5-1 thing. But again, that's perfect, too. So perfect.
That's a bit of a buzzkill, the Mickey Montero interview yesterday.
Yeah, I don't care.
He was just speaking.
I love Mickey.
He was just speaking at the celebration at Grant Park hours earlier. Then later he goes on the air and sort of blasts Joe Maddon.
Well, and the other thing with, and I probably shouldn't even just brought that up because it just was a little bit of a wet blanket on everything. But now that I did, I talked to Mickey a million times.
Uh-huh.
And when Wilson Contreras came up, he was like, it's about this guy now. This is the future. We're just here to support him. I mean, he said that, and it felt genuine. So I was shocked that he let some of those words out yesterday. But whatever, the guy got a huge hit, the game-winning hit in the 10th inning of Game 7 of the World Series. So whatever he wants to say.
Not to mention the pinch grand slam.
Not to mention the pinch grand slam. What a moment. Game 1, L.A. The whole thing's a blur. So that's what we're going to do coming back here, by the way. Your favorite moments. We're going to remind you of some of them. We'd love to hear yours. 312-981-7200. Favorite moments of the run. It could be regular season. It could be playoffs. It could be Game 7. That's totally up to you. 312-981-7200. Harry will give you his. I'll do the same. This week, Chicago's Best is not for the vegetarians. Harry's not that. Just saw him crush a double cheeseburger from...
Cheeseburger.
From the Billy Goat. No longer the GOAT. Join Elliot for all the meaty goodness you can handle. Don't miss Chicago's Best Meat Lovers. That is Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. 312-981-7200. The Chicago Cubs won the World Series. This is 720 WGN. How cool is that? Anthony Rizzo, you are the man with the Rocky theme song. Down 3-1. I saw something today that I read. Harry was dancing around naked or in his boxers or something to Rocky.
They watched them all. Rizzo brought him in, and Zobrist brought it up at the celebration yesterday at Grant Park, that when he was a kid, he used to, you know, watch Rocky to get fired up, and they used it again. And I'm telling you, this team seems to love each other. This team, you know, has everybody's back. You know, I love the story that the 25 guys were in that small weight room up there at Progressive Field, formerly the Jake, just kind of huddled together, just focused on the moment. And it took an act of God to get the momentum back on the Cubs' side. You know, you had to get a rain delay. But most teams, if they blow that huge lead and they give up 3 runs in an instant like that in the 8th inning, most teams lose that game. Cubs did not.
You can call it an act of God, an act of Santo, an act of Ernie, an act of whoever.
Milt Pappas.
Whoever you want to throw in there. It really was an act of the 2016 Cubs. It rained, and they took advantage of it. That's the bottom line. I mean, whatever, divine intervention, great. But these guys... There's a lot of divine intervention.
Great.
If you want to believe in that, which is cool, I'm not saying don't believe in that. Uh-huh. I'm a believer myself. But the bottom, there's divine intervention perhaps going on all the time.
They were certainly a team.
They jumped it.
They were certainly a team that took advantage all year of any opportunity they got.
Right. 312-981-7200. Your favorite moments from the run as we try to, I think we got to capture this a little bit, right? It just happened so quickly. Real fast, Harry, because we have calls and we have a news, and we'll do this. We are here till 6. It's really not. Don't rush. Actually, don't rush at all. give me your favorite moment from the season, the playoffs, whatever comes to mind.
There's so many. You know, from the season, they were trailing the Mariners on a Sunday night game of the week, 6-0 in the third inning.
Yep.
And they came back, and Arrieta's, you know, a terrific hitting pitcher, and you thought Arrieta was going to be the pinch hitter because they were out of players. And instead it was John Lester. I'm like, all this guy can do is bunt. He's just going up there to bunt. Is that it? He's going to squeeze in the winning run. And, you know, I'll be damned. That's exactly what he didn't do. And that might have been the Travis Woodlot field game also. But the idea that you're going to have one of your starting pitchers who can't really hit, never had a hit till this year, right? John Lester get up there and, you know, suicide squeeze in the winning run. That's what he did. That was a great regular season memory.
Yep, 7-6 winner on that night, coming back from 6-0 down on a Sunday night. I was sitting at home watching that one, just remembering that moment. Like,
surprised you weren't in the clubhouse.
You're winning that game. That's amazing.
Was that the same series as the Chris Bryant full house game with 3 homers and 2 doubles?
No, he did that against the Reds.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Three bombs and 2 doubles.
That was on the road.
On the road, 5 for 5. Hey, okay, we'll get to your calls, and I'll give you mine coming back after news. Kathy, Donna, you hang in there, 312-981-7200. Doing favorite moments, recapturing the run. Albert Almora Jr. coming up in about 20 minutes, too. 720 WGN. So I don't know if there's a cooler athlete in the city right now than Chris Bryant. That includes Jonathan Toews. That includes Patrick Kane, who are incredibly cool athletes. That includes Dwayne Wade, who put 35 last night. Give me a bear.
Multiple MVP rings.
Yeah.
Multiple championship rings.
Right. I mean, KB, ridiculous athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Great, fun, professional human being, all that. Power hitter, average hitter. Plays third, left, center, right, first. Drives a outstanding Lyft or Uber or whatever that was.
And if you're married, there's about a 50% chance that at some point during the postseason, your wife complimented Chris Bryant's eyes.
Even with the hair that he goes with. That's his one flaw, that hair. Is that rude?
I don't see the hair as a flaw at all.
Love that hair.
Women only look at the eyes.
Take it back. Great hair. If I had that hair, everyone would kill me, but it works on Chris Bryant.
Would you say your hair is more like Vitas Gerulaitis or more like Andre Agassi?
I'm closer to Agassi right now, although I haven't lost it yet, but it's very short. I got a cut yesterday. Let me give you my favorite moment of the run. So I think I got to go home game, game 6, NLCS, beat the Dodgers. They're in the World Series. And Go Cubs Go is ringing out, and I'm trying to talk to people, and I can't speak. That moment, that was an unbelievable. The whole game 6 was just a party, right? It just you never felt at any time that they were going to lose that game, and they weren't. And the Cubs were going to the World Series, and then you got to see the park in all its glory. I think that's my number one.
Yeah, the fact that the Cubs were finally going back to the World Series after all that time, you know, after just waiting since 1945, they were going back to the World Series. It seems like there were so many. It seems like they played 72 games in the postseason, and it seems like the regular season was so far away. Arrieta's no-hitter in Cincinnati.
Yep.
I mean, the guy had 2 no-hitters in, like, you know, the span of a couple months of a season.
9 starts. It's the third shortest stretch between no-hitters. Behind, would you like to guess?
Johnny Vandermeer.
That's 1938. Very good, Harry. You got the other one, too. You stud you.
Bert Hooten.
It'd be Warren Spahn. 5 starts, 1960-61.
That's pretty impressive. You know, the Giants series will always be remembered for that great 9th-inning rally. I don't know why Bruce Bochy took out, the starting pitcher when he'd only given up 2 hits. It'll always be known for the outburst. The Cubs had 4 runs in the 9th, but I will think of the Giants series as Javi Baez's coming out party.
What a series. Co-MVP. Stud. The home run in game 1.
How about the 2 plays in Frisco moving to his right? I mean, those are 2 balls that both were base hits. Javi Baez turning both in and out.
I mean, I'm fast forwarding into the Dodgers series when Adrian Gonzalez tries to drop down a bunt and he comes in however many feet.
What a play!
He was unbelievable. And then he wasn't in the World Series, but it all worked out. All right, 312-981-7200. Your favorite moments. We want to celebrate this with you as we all just... It's kind of fun just like, remember when that happened? We did Won't It Be Cool When. Let's play Remember When That Happened. Hey, Kathy, welcome to WGN. You're on the air. Kathy, hang on, Kathy. You didn't talk. Now you can start talking. Go ahead, Kathy.
Okay, hi. Our family had sort of an international experience with the Cubs World Series. Our daughter is a hardworking ER nurse in Oklahoma City, and our son is volunteering in Mexico right now. And the night of the World Series, by the 10th inning, the last game, my son was going to lose a seat because he was getting on a bus in a remote area and he wasn't going to have that seat for the live feed. And so he got on the phone with them because we could still reach him by phone. It was his 26th birthday. It was the Day of the Dead, which I have to believe Ron Santo and Ernie Banks came back to us on the Day of the Dead. And the only way my son could hear it was for my husband to call the play-by-play on the final two outs. And he heard it from his dad on the phone, and we'll never forget it.
That's so awesome.
Goosebumps. Kathy, I got goosebumps. That's awesome, awesome story with a happy ending. And I hope your son gets out before they build the wall.
How would you say your husband's play-by-play was? Was it as good as, say, Dan Shulman / Pat Hughes / Joe Buck?
You know what? We adore Pat Hughes, so I'll say it was a close second to Pat Hughes.
All right. Fair enough. Kathy, thanks for sharing. Appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
720 WGN 312-981-7200. How cool is that? Do you ever do play-by-play for anyone on the phone?
On the phone? Sure. I've had to do it. My dad, do a lot for my dad. Did it in high school. Did it basketball in high school, college baseball. Did a Kansas Jayhawks baseball, and Quigley Field was the name of the baseball stadium. So I used to say from the friendly confines of Quigley Field.
Great job.
How cool is that?
But that's like real play-by-play you're talking about, like college radio station play-by-play?
Yeah.
I'm talking about like girlfriend on the line and you're just telling
Dad.
What's going on. Dad.
Dad. Done it for Dad. With Bulls, White Sox, he's a big sports fan. And he's one of those people that is confused by the 1,200 channels that the teams are on these days.
Yeah, my father's the same way. They are of the same era.
Could tell you every guy on the on the Bulls and doesn't know like which Harry which channel are they on tonight?
Right. I talked to my dad before. I called him from Cleveland to let him know that I was in Cleveland, and he's like, "Yeah, well, it's too bad I can't watch the games because I don't get them on my TV." I'm like, "No, Dad, you do. They're on Fox. I think it's channel 12." Yeah, no, not no. I'm like, "Yes, please, you do. You can put them on." Papa Fred, Papa
Phil.
Papa Phil. Papa Fred and Papa Phil know each other from the Marshall Commando
Yes.
base. How cool is that? That's history right there. I'm going to get emotional. 312-981-7200. Donna, your favorite moment of the run. Go ahead.
Hey, Mark. It's Donna here. I always enjoy listening to you. Always very insightful.
Thanks, Donna.
So many moments came to mind, but I think the very first one was when Chris Bryant, even before he fielded the final ground ball, he was smiling. It was just so boyish, so heartwarming, just a really wonderful snapshot. He was smiling all the way through the play, and then I think he was even gritting his teeth when he was throwing it to Rizzo. I think that was a really sweet moment, I thought.
Yeah, Don, appreciate the call. A lot of people were making a thing out of that smiling deal. Like he was scared or he was I was in the right field corner behind the foul pole. I had no idea he was smiling. I was just, please pick that ball up and get it over to Anthony Rizzo. I can't believe that just happened. But watching it again, I just think he's, super laser focused, right?
Right. I mean, you got the people in the city that hate Jay Cutler just because he has that expression on his face a lot.
Yeah, Chris Bryant does not fall under that.
Chris Bryant would be the opposite. I mean, that's another reason to love the Cubs is because they seem to get it. They seem to appreciate it. That as talented as they are, they get to play at Wrigley Field, and they got to be there. Every guy on this team is going to be remembered, forever. I can't wait to hear your Albert Almora sit down because, he made a huge play getting to second base on that flyout, and every guy on this team is going to be remembered.
He did. We'll get to that in about 5 minutes. First, it's Paul on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. Your favorite moments. What are you thinking about now that we're 3 days past the World Series? Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, guys. I'm sitting here in the car with my daughter, Margaret. She's 11 years old. We've just come from the Northwestern game. But my favorite moments, well, there are many, and you guys hit on a lot of them. And by the way, my wife said a thing or two about Chris Bryant and how cute he is. So you got to
yeah, his eyes, right?
Spot on there. But Margaret came down, got a bunch of kids, but none of them were at that point that into the Cubs in the playoffs. But my daughter came down, top of the ninth, they're down by three, and she asked me, she said, Dad, what's a grand slam? And I have no idea why she asked the question, and little did either of us know how important that would be down the road. But I said, you know, honey, she was asking me questions about the game, and she was watching. I said, you need to sit down and just watch this with me because you're good luck. And they came back, and they won. And ever since then, she was checking rosters and watching every pitch.
So you've built connection with your daughter around the run, Paul. That's what I'm hearing?
Huge.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic. You know, I've got a half-brother who will always love the Chicago Bulls the most because when he was a kid, Michael Jordan was winning six titles. And he had help, of course, Scottie Pippen and Judd Bushler. But, you know, my daughter loves the Blackhawks because as a kid, she saw him win three championships. And now I feel like she's going to be, you know, so into the Cubs because she saw him win the world championship.
Right, absolutely. It's a wonderful thing.
There you go, Paul. Appreciate you. Go have a catch with your daughter sometime before it snows.
Have a catch.
Thank you, guys.
You got it. Did you see that story about father and son having a catch? forget. They're prominent guys. The GM of the Cleveland Indians, Shapiro.
Uh-huh.
And his dad, who's also was big in media.
Where do they have this catch?
Every year, so they started having it when he was, say, 10 years old. I'll find this.
When he was Shapiro?
Right, when he was right then. And they've had it every single year of their lives to the point where, like, this is the one day that they could possibly do it. One's the GM, one's Johnny Broadcaster. So they would literally, one's in New York, one's in Cleveland. So they would fly into New York the last day possible. And they'd be in some alley, snow's coming down, and they have this catch where the two of them would have this connection. How sweet is that?
That's incredibly sweet. See the story about the guy from Iowa who died moments after the Cubs won the World Series?
That didn't happen, did it? Right after?
Yeah, he was 80s. He was like 85, and I believe he was in hospice. But his like final moments were the Cubs won the World Series, and then...
He should have made it to the parade, too.
He got to see the Cubs win the World. They're burying him Monday in a Cubs World Series T-shirt.
That's amazing. All right, quick timeout. Miggy Montero, Albert Elmora Jr., and you coming on back, 720 WGN. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz. Hope you're having a great Saturday. Enjoy this weather. It won't last forever. You should be out. You should be doing something fun. You should be living a dream.
And take us with you.
Yes. Remember when I raked the leaves at your house?
What a half-assed job of rake. You know, you do so many things so well. I mean, you're a wonderful friend. You're great on the air. You're a wonderful host as well as a reporter that goes and gets pertinent information. Great sound. We're going to hear Albert Elmora Jr. coming up. But when it comes to raking leaves, there was a pool at the station, a gambling pool, and you didn't gamble money. You gambled, like, activities, and you had to rake my leaves. And you came up and you raked for, like, 12 minutes.
I actually think I raked for, like, 27 minutes, but you were so bad at taking care of your lawn that you just...
Also, it's my fault.
Yes, it was such a poor lawn taken care of that it was unfair to ask anybody who lost a bet to do what you needed done.
Normally, anybody that fails at raking like that is facing John Lester, Jake Arrieta, and Kyle Hendricks. You rake, hashtag rake fail.
I apologize, Harry. Let's just bring it back down and tell you that I did do a bad job. There was a scheduling conflict. I only had a certain amount of time.
Uh-huh. It was the schedule's fault.
There was something that was going on that I needed to go. All right, hey, we're going to get back to your calls and your favorite moments, but here's a guy who had a favorite moment. I saw him out at Wrigley yesterday. He's walking down the street going to the rally slash parade. Nobody knows who he is. He's just walking down Waveland. His family's there. I'm walking, you know, we're crisscrossing. Albert Elmore Jr., what's going on, man? Thanks for that interview Wednesday night. Oh, yeah, no problem, as if he even remotely remembered that moment in time. But he was walking through the clubhouse. It was basically right when they opened up the doors. No one was talking to him. So I grabbed Albert Elmore Jr. You scored in the 10th inning.
Albert Elmore Jr., you scored the go-ahead run in extra innings in the World Series.
Shoot, man. I can't begin to describe how that felt. I mean, you got to give it up to Schwarber for getting that base hit and starting that inning off, and then they told me to get in there. And
run, Forrest, run!
Exactly. That's all I tried to do. I tried to get in a scoring position as fast as I could, and when KB hit that ball, I saw Davis run back, and I had a good feeling it wasn't going to go out, so I went with my gut instincts, and I went back and tagged, and I was in scoring position for Rizzo, and then they walked him, and then that's how everything unfolded, man. And I was just at the right place at the right time, and I got to give it up to my teammates. It's unbelievable.
What was going on during the rain delay as you guys regrouped?
I'm not going to say it. If someone says it, they can say it, but I'm not going to say what went on. It was we were together as a team. That's all I can say. We were together as a team, and we were ready to go.
And when you slid into home, popped up, the emotions were flowing, looking in that dugout, you'll probably remember that for the rest of your life, I'm guessing.
You know, the first thing that went through my mind was to go back and tag home plate, just because you never know. Now with this whole replay, the last thing you want to do is go back in history and be remembered as that guy, you know? So I went back, tagged home plate, and then I started celebrating, you know? And then to see the reaction in my team's face, you know, when...
Aren't you that guy?
Yeah, and then to see it, you know, their emotions when Benny hit that double, and that got me there. Unbelievable, unbelievable. I got hurt. I'm bleeding somewhere. I don't even know what happened, but I almost about had a heart attack there, but it was awesome.
And just to be a contributor with this group, just talk about what that means to you.
Man, yeah, I was honored and had the blessings to be a part of the best baseball team in history in my eyes. And Chicago, this is for you guys.
There you go. Best team in history, Harry. That might be slightly overstating, but we'll take
it. No, I don't think so. Albert Elmore Jr., I thought that Chris Bryant ball might be gone. You know, I thought it might be a home run. And Elmore went back to first. He tagged. He took off. Had another great moment in the playoffs, of course. That catch in right field against San Francisco
in
the NLDS was outstanding. And, you know, I want to relish the moment, but Stan Bowman had to give up about a third of his roster. You know, last time he had to give up, like, you know, half his roster. The first guy we're going to see what the Cubs do with is Dexter Fowler. And if Dexter Fowler doesn't stay here, there's a good chance that either Hayward or Albert Elmore Jr. will be your center fielder next season.
Yeah, and they'll be fine. Actually, they'll be better defensively with Elmore out there. But the offense and the leadoff part, that's the question. So that'll be a very interesting. I think the Fowler thing comes down to what's he being offered and perhaps just a slight perhaps by who. Like, if one of the main Cub rivals, a la the Cardinals, want to pick him off, or, say, the Nats want to pick him off, I think that might make them slightly more, I doubt it, but just putting that out there is just a slight factor. It might incentivize them to bring him back.
Elmore Jr., Wilson Contreras, you know, the whole infield, you know, really, Javi Baez and Addison Russell, Chris Bryant, Rizzo. I mean, this team is such a young team. It's got the mix of veterans. You know, it's got your Ben Zobrist and stuff. But you feel like, you know, that they're just going to be
win it
back
again. They're going to win it again. They're going to – listen, we said at the beginning when we were counting numbers, 11, 10, down to 2, down to 1, now 0. I started at 33. That's where I started. 33, three-peat. We got 22 to go here. They're going back, Ken. They're going back, Harry, all day. Hey, your favorite moments, 312-981-7200. Joe, welcome to WGN. Go ahead. Joe?
You talking to me?
I'm talking to you. We're talking to you, Joe.
No one else in the place.
Okay. Anyway, everybody seems to forget about Montero. The guy had two hits in the postseason.
Yep.
One's a pinch hit grand slam that breaks a 3-3 tie. And the other one just it turns out to be he gets a hit that scores the winning run.
Not bad.
pretty good for a guy who only had two hits.
Right. And you
five
know,
RBIs and two hits.
A lot of people thought that the Cubs were nuts for carrying three catchers into the postseason. The Cubs start the playoffs with three different catchers behind the plate. And Miguel Montero is one of the three catchers that had an RBI. Each one of the catchers had an RBI in Game 7. You know, it's crazy.
Joe, appreciate you. Are you
okay?
Have you gone to sleep yet, Joe?
I partied for a little bit afterwards. I did. Yes, I did. Absolutely. I've been a Cub fan for 65 years. And so let me tell you, I partied.
Good for you, Joe. Enjoy it, man. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
You know, I haven't had a sip of alcohol since they won it, just for the
record.
How
can that be?
I haven't. I don't know.
You're saying that in case, like, some judge
by the way,
is listening?
Well, I'd also like to say, with all due respect to everybody out there who's screaming, I'm going on a bender, you don't necessarily need to have alcohol to celebrate these things. Just want to put that out there as a possibility that people could digest. That being said, I really want a beer after the show. All right.
You have one right now.
I got my hot tea. I got my mint tea from Argo Tea. It's carrying me.
Oh, come on. There's go up to Kevin Powell's desk. I'm sure he's got some bottles up there.
I'm gonna stay true for you, Harry. I'm a slight professional. All right, coming back after 4 o'clock, we of course are continuing the Cubs conversation. And we will do a little bit on the future and what is next. And continuing your favorite moments, Archan, Jim, you, 312-981-7200. We've got audio highlights, too. A lot going on. Celebrating all day, every day, for the rest of our lives until they win it again. Something like that. 720 WGN.
Ross flies one into center. Sends Davis back at the wall. And it's gone! The 39. His final game, David Ross has made it 6-3.
It's taught me a lot in life, on the field, off the field, how to be a better person. I'm forever grateful for him. And he's going out a champion forever. For the rest of his life, you could say the last game he played in, he's a world champion.
Jump. Hey, be the best of your today's. Be the worst of your tomorrow's. We ain't even thinking that far. You know what I mean?
So we live life like a video. That was the coolest moment of Grant Park yesterday by far, I would say. Anthony Rizzo talking about how David Ross, Grandpa Rossi, taught him how to become a winner. Harry Tynowitz, Mark Harmon with you here on the beat till 6 o'clock. I need a hug right now, Harry. Go ahead.
You know, there have been times when I have made fun of people for, you know, there's one time I can think of where I made fun of someone for crying. You know, I hated Mike Schmidt. If you're a Cubs fan, you hate Mike Schmidt. And we played his retirement ceremony, and I, like, made fun of him for crying. And
you should apologize right now for that.
Well, I mean, what makes Anthony Rizzo great is the passion. I saw that, and I started tearing up. I mean, I'm sitting there watching Anthony Rizzo tear up, and I'm starting to cry. And that's why Anthony Rizzo is awesome, because of the passion he plays with. You know, that he can have a 1-for-14 and then jack home runs the next couple games, that he will jump up on the fence and catch a foul ball when other guys would be like, I didn't even think of that. Anthony Rizzo saying he's like a big brother to me. And the way he spoke from the heart, I mean, how do you not love that guy? And he gave Tom Ricketts the baseball, taking a page out of Paulie's playbook.
Yep.
You know, just, I mean, I love Anthony Rizzo for so many reasons. And I'm sure you loved the other guy that's been here as long, Travis Wood's look yesterday at the parade.
Yeah, that was a good, strong move by Travis Wood. Somebody had to take their shirt off, and why not have it be Travis Wood and get up there and sing Go Cubs Go? You know when I fell in love with Rizzo? It was a long time ago, and by the way, speaking of moves that I criticized and I was dead wrong, and Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer were dead right, I thought Andrew Kashner was going to be a stud of a pitcher.
Whoa, you thought that was a bad trade?
I thought that you're giving away a guy that could be at the front of your rotation. I didn't like it. I'm like, do you guys know who Andrew Kashner is? Apparently they did, and I didn't. So just, I'll call myself out on every stupid thing I said. I didn't like the Jeff Samardzija for Addison Russell deal. Dead wrong. Who's going to pitch? How can you get rid of Samardzija? He'll be cheaper than other people. dead wrong.
What's the best trade that this group has made?
The Arrieta trade is the best one.
Arrieta and Strope for Feldman and Clevenger.
Loved that one. Loved that one. And I loved the Travis Wood deal, which was Sean Marshall.
Yeah.
That was a great trade. We don't need a reliever. This guy could be a starter. That made a whole lot of sense.
So you got Arrieta and Strope for Clevenger and Scott Feldman. You got Addison Russell, right, for Samardzija and Jason Hamill.
Yep.
You got, you know, the Andrew Kashner for Anthony Rizzo trade, which, you know, I think is the greatest trade. You got Dempster for Kyle Hendricks. I mean, look at what these guys did.
Kyle Hendricks for Dempster is ridiculous. The signing Ben Zobrist and trading Starlin Castro is a brilliant maneuver.
Right.
Drafting Kyle Schwarber when people thought they were overslotting him was brilliant.
Yeah, they drafted Chris Bryant. The first guy taking the Astros had the first pick that year and did not draft Chris Bryant.
Most people thought they were going to go for pitching. They went for the, hey, we know that this guy Chris Bryant's going to hit. And their philosophy, too, of... yeah, we want really talented players, but we also really, really, really care about the character part, and we're going to sit down with them. I mean, you talk to Kyle Schwarber, the only thing that guy cares about in his life is being really, 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 really good at baseball and being a really, really, really good teammate.
And he is. He's both.
He's incredible. Hit 412 in the World Series after sitting out the whole year.
How do you do that?
Are you kidding me?
How do you do that?
How do you do that? Can't wait to see him in left field every day next year. I don't know what that all looks like. We can talk about that. What does the future look like in a minute? But let's share some more of your great moments. Who's waiting the longest? That would be Archan. Archan, you're on 720 WGN. Thank you. What's up, Archan?
Hey, Mark. I came in the country 20 years ago from India, where cricket is religion. And as soon as I saw baseball, I immediately felt a connection and fell in love with it. You know, this World Series, there were three generations. My son, Arja, who's nine, and my dad, who's visiting. You know, we bonded so much in this World Series, so much so that, you know, we had a lot of seats in the house where I would sit at one end of the couch, my dad would be sitting at the other end. And if my son moves from me to my dad, something bad would happen. On my side. So he had a loaded slots for each and every one of us, and it was a lot of fun. And coming to the best one, you know, best memories, of course, you know, Russell Granny Grand Slam, you know, was one of the best moments where, you know, three of us hugged each other so much. And, you know, there was a lot of emotions flowing.
Archan,
just waiting to hear.
Yeah. Hey, Archan, you want to hear that Grand Slam again?
Please do.
Here we go for you, buddy.
2-0. High fly ball to left center. At the wall. Grand Slam. 7-0 Chicago.
Oh. Look at that.
So good.
That's amazing,
So, Archie, you know, you mentioned that cricket is the sport in India, and you got here 20 years ago. There's a good chance that a cricket game that was going on when you left 20 years ago is still going on now, that same game.
No, they actually shortened the version of it. Now it gets over in 3.5 hours versus 5 days.
I don't believe you.
That's still impressive, Archie, that Harry knows the length of cricket games. You got to give him props for that. Hey, thanks so much for sharing, my friend. Thanks for calling in.
Appreciate it. Thanks for taking my call.
You're a world champion. There you go. 312-981-7200. I love the overseas moving to this country angle. Do you have any stories like that that you could share, Harry? I have one myself.
I have an Irish friend. Have you ever met my friend Coley?
I have not.
You know, in Ireland, the great sport there, of course, is soccer. You know, they love soccer and being a hooligan. And I say that with love because I have many Irish friends that are awesome, awesome people. But, you know, he came here and he wanted to be in a bar at, you know, 6 a.m. Saturday morning because he wanted to watch soccer. And he just loves the Cubs now. There are so many people that moved to Chicago. It doesn't matter if you've been here your whole life or if you moved here from another continent. You know, and there's diehard Sox fans too, but I think there's a culture with the Cubs that's, you know, that's totally different. And, you know, it's the 100-year celebration of the team at Wrigley Field. It was more about the ballpark than it was about the team. you know, the ballpark will always be the greatest, you know, baseball stadium. I know that Boston fans will refute that, but Mark, you have been to 1,000 Cub games at Wrigley. That park is so special, but now we finally have a team the caliber of the ballpark.
Yeah. I mean, Wrigley Field is the greatest place on earth. You want to make an argument that Fenway's better? I'm not even going to argue with you. That's fine. That's your own personal love. And I was super impressed by Fenway.
Right.
I might even tell you that Fenway's better, but that's like it doesn't matter.
If you grew up in Boston,
right.
That's what you think. You know, right. If you grew up here, you think it's Wrigley.
Right. Hey, let me. Okay, we'll get to Penn in a second. My buddy Benny Levy, who, you know, his oldest. He had an older brother like I do that's 20 years older than him. Uh-huh. So he would come here from Israel at 7, 8, 9 years old, and he'd spend his summers here and then go back. And so his whole summer was Ryan Sandberg and Maddox and all that stuff. And so he's just this diehard who then spent his high school years here and then moved back. And now he lives over there. He's got a family, the whole deal. But so I'm Facebooking with him on, you know, from Cleveland, game 7. He's you know, after it's 6-6, he's writing him, we still got the bats. You know, so it's there's that can. And he was a phenomenal scalper back in his day.
Really?
Yes, we would go down. We'd go down there in high school. He'd buy up whatever he would buy up. We'd buy, trade, sell this, that, and then we'd end up in like section 24, row 2, which is second row behind the visitors on deck circle for free, and eat and go home. That was a good guy to be friends with.
Weren't surprised that a Jewish guy would know how to like.
I don't know how he had that. It was an innate ability.
He's a Sabra.
He was incredible. Of course, I think he sold some standing room tickets as bleachers and perhaps ripped some people off. But I don't
know. Allegedly.
He didn't know that he was doing that, allegedly. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. I'm old, and I have been a Cubs fan my whole life.
How old are you, Jim? Out yourself.
Well, I'm old. I'm old. I don't have to think about how old I am.
You don't sound old, Jim.
I know, but I'm older than I sound. How old are you, Mark?
43, Jim.
I'm older than you.
Okay. That's not old. That's not old, Jim.
I'm this many.
Oh, yeah. I'm older than that, too. Hey, here's the thing. So all my life, I've been waiting for the Cubs to win, right, to win this World Series, like everybody else here. I own an indoor baseball training academy in Chicago. I don't know if I can even say the name or not, but it's called Bash. And in the end of July, Chris Bryant came in here to film a commercial for Adidas. You guys have probably seen the commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's got the goat. Here he is in here, and he's got the goat. And all I can think of is, if they don't do it this year, somehow this is going to be on me. Somehow people are going to be going, it's that goat commercial. And by the way, where was that shot? Oh, at Jim's place. So I was just so relieved. It was over.
You were carrying the burden, Jim.
Jim, what's the name of that place?
It's called Bash.
All right.
It's a good name.
We're up on the north side. Everybody around here who plays ball knows us. But what an unbelievable ride, and too many magic moments to even pick out a favorite.
Give one, Jim. You got to give one.
God, one. I keep coming back to Miggy hitting that grand slam when Aroldis had given up the lead.
On an 0-2 count.
And an 0-2 count, and the guy who just has had a miserable season at the plate. And just, you know, for him to come off the bench and put that ball in his teeth with the bases loaded, he just had to feel at that moment that things are really finally, as a Cub fan, breaking our way.
Yeah, baby. Thanks, Jim.
You know? Thanks, guys.
Yep, you helped break the curse, Jim. You didn't really talk about it that way, but that's really what he did.
Right. Thank you for calling the beat on WGN Radio. You know, Mark, after the break, Joe Maddon made a couple moves. He's the best manager in baseball, Joe Maddon. But there's a couple moves he made in Game 6 and 7 that almost hurt the Cubs, yet it's the culture he built that enabled them to come through and win the World Championship.
All right, well, I agree with you on that part. We'll talk about that coming back. Also, Penn's got a immigrant Cubs story. I want to hear that, too, coming back here. And you should join Chicago Tribune in publicly recognizing the most dynamic and supportive companies in Chicagoland. It's their 7th annual Top Workplaces event, November the 10th. At Soldier Field, visit topworkplaceschicago.com for tickets. 720 WGN. Cubs won the World Series. Brian McCray, former Cub, good old number 56, he joined the Cubs when Annie McPhail was saying, we're working on it?
Yes.
Oh, God. You want to feel sick? We're working on it. Yeah, you worked on it. You didn't get it done. You worked on it. Not to attack somebody on the week the Chicago Cubs won the World Series.
You know who Theo Epstein is?
Who's Theo Epstein?
He's King Arthur.
Okay.
He pulled the sword from the stone.
He did. That's well said, Harry. You wanted to, what did you just want to talk, you want to talk about Madden.
Oh, yeah. You know, Joe Madden is, I think what's great about Joe Madden is that every player drives to the park, or in Ben Zobrist's case, cycles to the park, thinking that they got a chance to really, you know, get in the game that day and be the difference. And what great teams do is everybody plays, everybody contributes. And you know, I was not crazy when Joe Madden removed Kyle Hendricks from the game. Like, what the hell are you doing, Joe?
I was crazy. What in the world are you doing? Go ahead.
Okay, I was not crazy when he had Javi Baez, who even though he was swinging like the old Javi Baez, still, you know, he homers, he can hit. The two-strike, you know, squeeze attempt was nuts.
Yeah, I didn't even consider that he would put that on. I thought Baez did it on his own. The fact that that was actually called is really, really, really inserting yourself into the game too much. Go ahead.
And then Joe Madden, you know, sadly I know a little bit about addiction. Turns out Joe Madden can't stop using Aroldis Chapman.
That is an addiction.
Game six, you're up 7-2. I don't think you needed to burn after what he threw. Threw 42 pitches Sunday night.
Right.
In game five, you would think up 5 runs, you don't need to go to Aroldis Chapman.
You would think up 7-2, you would have somebody warming up, so just in case they did score again because Anthony Rizzo was doing nothing but hitting the baseball, right, you'd at least have somebody warming.
So I was not thrilled with the Kyle Hendricks leaving the game. I was not thrilled with the Javi Baez squeeze Joe Madden put on, and I was not thrilled with the Aroldis Chapman pitching 20 pitches in game six. But
I can add on to that. I was not thrilled that John Lester, who was rolling and is a huge money player, there was absolutely no reason to take him out with two outs in the eighth, especially with the amount that you had used Chapman. You could have run him to the end just like the Giants did with Bumgarner. He should have pitched the ninth.
Could not agree more. Could not agree more, Mark. Yet for these three things that we are, you know, pinpointing, Joe Madden created a culture.
He did.
Joe Madden created a culture where even if you give up 3 runs in a flash in the eighth inning and the other team ties you and you're on the road, you still know that somehow you're going to win the game. And that is all Joe Madden. And that's why Davey Martinez is going to be skippering a ball club soon. Maybe it's the Rockies.
Yeah. The whole culture thing and the onesies and try not to suck, embrace the target.
The magician.
Every single ounce of that, and the fact that he wants his players to do less and not be sitting there in a cement structure all day long.
Don't come in.
All that is brilliant and rational, all combined together. You don't have to, you know, absolutely work every single second of every single day to be your best. Sometimes less is more. I love that about Joe Madden. And I love the spirit of Joe Madden. What I don't love about Joe Madden that we learned this year is when the moments are the biggest, a little panicky and a little overmanagey, and hopefully he'll learn from that because the Cubs are going to be there again.
Yeah, I think it's more overmanagey than panicky.
There was some froze in moments, Harry. Full freeze. We can talk about that coming back. Brian McCray is going to be with us. But, you know, when Aroldis gives up the lead, knock, knock, get somebody up in the bullpen, man. He's done.
Good idea.
Hello. He was completely frozen. Like, nobody was warming up.
Basio was talking to him. Basio went over and said, why don't we warm up somebody?
I mean, I thought there was some panic and freezing and all stuff going on, which was hard to believe because I would think that, you know, the picture of what he talks about, he really wasn't in the moment. But all right, BMAC coming back. And hey, Penn, if you hang in there with your Cubs story, we'll get to you too before I get to Brian McCray. 720 WGN.
Here come the Cubs, 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 here come the diehard fans, here come the
You should turn it up. One more verse, I gotta play it. It'd be sacrilegious not. You want one more here? I know you do. Just so good. Hi, I'm Mark Harmon. You're Harry Tynowitz. He is a former Cub. The ivy was on the wall. The sun was up in the sky many days when number 56 patrolled center field, even when he cut out a little circle in the top of his cap because it was so darn hot out there. Let's welcome Brian McCray to 720 WGN. B-Mac, good to hear your voice, man. Thanks for taking time.
What's going on, Mark? How you doing? You getting any sleep?
Not much. We'll catch up. You played here under Jim Riggleman. You grew up, of course, around the Royals, played for the Royals. They won the World Series last year. The Cubs win it this year. You've kind of gone back-to-back here, B-Mac.
Well, it's the two of my four teams that I spent some time with that have won a World Series in the last couple of years, and I also played with the Mets and the Blue Jays. So last year I had the final four, all four teams, but my ties are mostly with the Royals and the Cubs. So it has been a pretty good run for my former teams, and just being able to hang out in Chicago last week for just that one day on Saturday when I came in and saw some former teammates and just see the excitement and everything. And it was a special moment. It's one of those things where it's surreal. It still doesn't feel like it happened, but I checked myself and checked the news to make sure it did, and it did. And I thought the Royals parade last year was a huge deal, but we've always said, all the guys that played for the Cubs, if and when the Cubs win a World Series, it's going to be a party unlike any other one that has ever gone on, and it's not going to stop at that day of the parade. It's going to continue and go on and go on for a long time, because this many generations, you saw pictures on the social media of people at the grave sites of their parents making memorials, things like that. This goes beyond just your basic fans that love their team. This is 108 years. This is a lot of time at the ballpark, a lot of heartache, a lot of disappointment. And now all that finally comes out, and it's been a great run, and I've enjoyed watching it.
B-Mac, obviously your dad was a heart of the order guy for the Royals, the manager. You played for the Royals. But when Anthony Rizzo said, "This is for everybody that's ever worn a Cubs uniform," what did that mean to you?
Well, I think that we all wanted to be the ones on that team that brought a championship to Chicago. And we felt that. We heard it. And I think that's where that statement goes, because, you wear the uniform, you're part of the fraternity, no matter how much time you spent with that organization. And you want that organization to do well. And I think that what this team was able to do and what Theo was able to put together, they're going to write books about this. They're going to make movies about this. This is something that we may not see another drought of this magnitude in professional sports. This is maybe the last one.
No doubt. And especially with, you could combine it with the Superstation and WGN-TV and just the history of the club and so many players like Ernie Banks who are connected not just to Cub fans but to all of baseball. There's just a whole thing going on there. What did you think watching the game, Brian? Because, I'm sure you were managing along with everybody else. What did you think of what Joe Maddon was doing in Game 6 and Game 7? What were your thoughts?
I was thinking they better win. he put some things in play that were ripe to be second-guessed. with Chapman coming in and throwing as much as he did in game six. You know, his reasoning, I thought the game was out of reach. If you can't trust it with some of the guys in your bullpen, it saved Chapman. But, you know, he didn't. And I think both teams showed you who they trusted, and they didn't trust a lot of guys in the bullpen to come out there. I don't like throwing starters in positions where they're not used to throwing, and Hendricks was throwing well. He got, I think, squeezed on a couple calls. Yep. I thought he was throwing the ball well, had good tempo, good momentum going. And then they bring Lester in, and then the wild pitch that scores two runs, and you're thinking that was probably not the right move to bring Lester in that situation. But whatever the case is, it worked. And you can make some crazy moves, and if it doesn't work, you get criticized and raked over the coals. It's odd. It's unconventional, the things that that were going on. But in the end, which is all that matters, they were able to bring a championship back to Chicago.
You know, you make me think of 1981 when the Expos put Steve Rogers out there in the ninth inning. A great starting pitcher, and the Dodgers came back and got him and got the win, and they went to the World Series instead of Montreal. Brian McCray is on Mark Carmen's show, The Beat, on WGN.
This is your show too, Harry.
Yeah. Well, I was told there'd be food here. B-Mac, obviously it's different for everyone, but next year it'll be Jake Arrieta. First up this year is Dexter Fowler. What do you think will go into Dexter Fowler's decision on whether he leaves the Cubs to get more money or stays with the Cubs for less money?
I think it's years. You know, he's already won a championship. He's part of a legacy that can never be taken away. And now you can get as many years as possible as he can. If he gets years somewhere else, I think he'll go. But if he gets his years, even though it may be less numbers, you know, he's already once for less. And now I think it's going to be a years thing. And if he gets those years, he'll come back and he'll stay. But they have some tough decisions to make because some of these younger players are ready for some full-time duty, or at least we need to find out if, you know, they can play every day. Albert Almora, we need to find out if he every day. So they did some tough decisions with a few guys. But I think the money's the same and the years are the same. Those guys will come back to Chicago.
Let me just put Brian Hunt on hold real quick because he keeps on popping in and out. Dan, why don't you just call him back one time and just
put Brian McCray on hold.
We'll reconvene with BMAC in just one quick second here.
You agree with that? That makes sense. And then Brian McCray, of course, longtime MLB guy. Do you think it's about the years for Dexter Fowler?
Years, dough, all that. You know, I think he loves being here clearly, and he's got huge connection with the team, but you only get to do this once, and if somebody offers me $80 million to go play for the Rockies and the Cubs are offering 60 or whatever it would be, it's more probably closer to 40 and 60, something like whatever it is, I'm taking more dough if it's me.
We just saw it in hockey. Brian Campbell turned down a $5 million a year deal with the Florida Panthers to come back to Chicago where he won the Stanley Cup, where he lives, because he wanted to be here with his family. But you just heard Brian McCray saying it's about the years.
Right. I never begrudge a player his choice there. I mean, for me, Brian Campbell, you're talking about hockey, he got paid. He had a huge contract, so he didn't need any more dough. Dexter Fowler's made a lot of money, a ton of money. Mm-hmm. But he's never had that huge, huge deal, which is might be sitting in front of him. I don't know. I mean, hey, BMAC, just to follow up on that, if you're a team, are you giving Dexter Fowler a four-year deal around close to $20 million a year? Would you make that investment in him, or do you think you'll be looking at something closer to, say, 2 years and maybe, I don't know, $35
million? Well, look at what Ben Zobrist was able to get. You know, he got 4 years. He's going to be 38 at the end of his deal. How old is Fowler?
He's 32.
32. So I think he should, you know, I would look for a four-year deal and see what happens. And, you know, you can shoot for the moon right now. His price tag is never going to be as high as it is now. So go ahead and take a shot at it. If he doesn't get it, then fine. But at least go ahead and take a shot at it.
I'm wrong on that number, by the way. He's 30, and that's my bad. 30 years old.
He's what?
He's 30.
Oh, so he's 30. So, yeah, go ahead and go at a 4 or 5 year deal.
I mean, if you're the Cubs, are you signing him and blocking him more?
I'd sign him because I think he's a known commodity. The other guys are not. Who else is going to come patrol center field, hit at the top of the order, bring the kind of things that he brought to the table day in and day out? Who's out there in the organization that's going to do it?
They don't have one.
Right.
And if you go outside the organization and bring somebody in, what are you going to pay them?
Right. Right. That's what they're debating, I'm sure. The other part of it is, let's just talk about the outfield real quick here. You've got Schwarber, who you're going to want to play every day.
Right, you get an extra guy, because Schwarber wasn't there, obviously, for the whole season.
Right, so you got Schwarber you want to play every day.
Yeah.
Ben Zobrist is probably an outfielder now with Baez at second.
68.
He's more of an outfielder than he's still that utility guy, because he's still, you know, if you were going to run him out to one position every day, it probably wouldn't look good. You got to bounce him around, but he's more of an outfielder than an infielder.
Okay. So then,
Jorge Soler.
You got Soler, and you also have Hayward, who you're paying a ton of money to.
Right. Hayward's got 7 more years here.
Beal did a good job of finding a taker for Josh Beckett, Adrian Gonzalez, and Carl Crawford. One of those moves may be coming up.
Yeah. What'd you see from Jason Hayward, Brian? Because Brian McCray, former Cub.
It just looked bad. The swing was long. It didn't look like he had any consistency in what he was doing, his game plan or his approach at the plate. And, you know, he's going to have to retool that over the winter, but I'm looking at a guy that, you know, that may not work there. It just, you know, maybe give him a half a year and see what happens, but it just may be one of those things where they just have to admit that it was a bad fit. It's not going to work, and he's never going to hit.
I never liked his swing, even when he was hitting. I was always amazed that he was able to put up numbers. It's an awkward-looking swing.
It felt like there were times he should be bringing his glove to the plate instead of his bat.
It's, you know, he should really take care of his teammates that were able to overcome him not doing hardly anything all year. You know, how many times one of your highest-paid players on the team does nothing and the team's able to overcome that and win a championship?
It's true.
But hey, can you tell BMAC from a small sample size, because he came up here June 19th, but can you tell what Wilson Contreras is going to do with his career behind the dish?
I think catching, he needs work. But offensively, he could be a force. You know, that bat plays, especially behind the plate when there are not a lot of offensive-minded catchers that can hit for power. But I just think that he's a little shaky behind the plate. Needed some work blocking balls, framing balls, you know, just calling games, things like that from the little bit I saw. But I like the upside and the potential with the bat.
What's your opinion on Baez?
Don't throw him a strike. I don't know why he did a better job of controlling the strike zone, but you saw when pitchers were able to get ahead and expand his strike zone on him that he would swing at everything. That's going to be a thing that he's going to have to constantly work on, because I don't know why pitchers would throw him anything close to the strike zone until he displays a better understanding of it and has some plate discipline, which, you know, it was better than it was the past couple of years, but it's still a far cry from where it needs to be if he's going to be an everyday player and be productive.
How does this, you know, this World Series championship, it's unbelievable to me how quickly the culture has changed, that the Cubs have gone from a punchline, from being America's...
It wasn't a quick change, I don't think. You know, Theo has been, this is Theo's fifth year.
Right, but what I'm saying, it's been, for me, a lifetime. For most Cubs fans, it's been a lifetime of failure, of, you know, that there were playoffs in 84, in 89, you know, in 98, in 2003, 07, 08, but... It's been, you know, the Cubs have been a joke. My friends have mocked me openly for my Cubs love, and now the Cubs look like they're going to be the man. They're going to be top dog for the next few seasons. You know, do you believe that this, you know, culture change actually happened? Because they've gone, this wasn't a fluke. This was a team that was built with a plan, and in just you know, one presidential term, this team became a World Series contender. And in Theo's fifth year, they won it all.
Well, look who they brought in the front office, starting with Theo, and then the moves that were made with the trade and the draft picks. Now, so to me, this is something that was building because the organization had started to get better. You know, 2003, should have been a World Series appearance. Things started to get better. The team was not going 20, 30 years without being a contender. And then you bring in a guy like Theo, who did some great things in Boston, and he was able to, in 5 years, change the culture, change the shape of the organization, and make it one where this is not going to be their last World Series appearance. I think, you know, they have a run of 6 or 7 years where you may see them in the World Series 6 or 7 times here in the next 10 to 15 years.
That's what I think. I'm predicting a three-peat. But, you know, it made me think, and BMAC, we're up against it here, so I got to break and let you go. I could talk to you all night here. But when you first came to the Cubs, you were like the first move, correct me if I'm wrong here, when Andy McPhail was trying to reshape the franchise, we are working on it. His first and smartest move was to bring you in. Isn't that right? You were like the first guy that when things started to change?
It was right after the strike at that time. Yeah. So that 95 was a rebuilding year, and we almost made the playoffs in 95. We were the playoffs by one game.
Yep. You were in on the Saturday before the end of the season. Yep.
Yeah. And if we would have been in the old Eastern Division, that was the first year of the, I think, or the second year of the three divisions, we would have actually won the East in 95.
Yep, there's Cub fans here that don't hate the Mets enough.
You can't say that to a former Cub and former Met, Harry. That's like inappropriate.
But he also knows. I mean,
I know that rivalry there.
Right.
No, it's fully deaf.
Yeah.
But no, I think this is going to be a great time in Cubs history. The team is young. They're going to be hungry. You know, the hangover effect is not. I don't think it's going to bother these guys, because once you taste it, you want it more. You know, this is fun. These guys are having fun. They're enjoying each other. They're enjoying what it is to be a Cub and to win. So I think it's just going to feed the monster where they want to do it more.
Brian McCray, former Cub, former Royal, former Met, former Blue Jay. Good old number 56 taking some time with us this afternoon. BMAC, thanks for the time, man.
All right, you guys take it easy. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday and try to get some sleep.
Thanks, Brian. Brian McCray, former Cub, with us on 720 WGN. The run is real, Harry. Let's follow up on that after 5 o'clock. Quick timeout, 720 WGN.
God has given a lot to me, and I'm so thankful for that. He gave me the opportunity to hold a trophy just like that last year and hoist it up. And I thought, how can I ever top this? And then I started thinking about Chicago. I started thinking about Wrigley Field, 108 years. And I said, I want to be part of that.
Chicago loves you back, Ben Zobrist. Thank you for coming here. I love how he talks about it, though. Like, I was wondering how I could make that happen. Well, they did offer you $56 million to come here. That happen.
That's one way. Do you know how one of the things Ben Zobrist did to celebrate the Cubs World Series Championship?
I thought it was so cool if you're talking about going outside his house in Avondale and signing autograph after autograph after autograph.
That's what he did. He called it Halloween, delayed Halloween. But Ben Zobrist sat out in front of his stoop because he was a little something more important going on Halloween night. So there was, you know, no candy to be given away. So Zobrist went out there and just, they lined up. They didn't have to come in costume. And he just kept giving out autographs.
I also love that he lives in Avondale.
So great.
Like that neighborhood's been coming up. He doesn't have to go Gold Coast.
Right, right.
Do something cool. Get a little neighborhood
didn't
street.
Didn't have to steal Patrick Sharp's house from him.
Right. Do something different, man. Check out the city. See what feels right for you.
No Sharpie, by the way, tonight for the Stars. John Weideman, Troy Murray have the broadcast. Judd Surratt's got your pregame coming up at 6:30.
6:30 preps plus at 6 o'clock. We were going to do, David Jennings was just giving all the scores from college football. Pretty incredible that the Notre Dame Fighting Irish lost to Navy today, 28-27. Notre Dame is 3-6, and I would assume the end of the line is here for Brian Kelly at the end of the year.
Is the AD safe?
I don't know, but I really all I care about is Brian Kelly, who once he allowed a student to go up on a scissor lift in 60-mile-an-hour's wind, and Declan Sullivan ended up tragically killed. I didn't understand how he could possibly keep his job, right or wrong. You're the head coach. you were there and that happened. But he did because they wanted to win football games. Okay, well, now you're not winning football games. Maybe that'll be good enough. Regardless. And this is, by the way, there's a million other things that have gone on around the Notre Dame program, too.
Right.
So Notre Dame's tremendous tradition. I've been to South Bend many times. It's worthy of having a great football coach who has integrity too.
Notre Dame, if you've never been to see Touchdown Jesus, Ed Farmer, voice of the White Sox, says, you know, one of the coolest things in the world is walking in with the band on football Saturdays. But there have been a ton of things that have happened there. And multiple arrests on the same night in this offseason was not good for Brian Kelly.
Sexual assault, students taking their own lives.
That's horrible. Compared to losing to Navy, that's, you know, a zillion times.
Well, right, of course. Real life is always a gazillion times worse than sports. But they've had both now and yet still there. So we were going to have a little bit of fun today. Harry wanted, we've had a ton of fun today, but it's all been Cub fun. You wanted to have some different fun.
Well, I thought, you know, you and I have both been immersed in the Cubs, as it has most of Chicago, most of the world. So, you know, I was watching a little bit of the Bulls game, you know, last night. You know, I was watching most of the Bulls game last night, and it was weird seeing D. Rose and Joakim Noah wearing Knicks uniforms.
Played great.
And I watched the Hawks the other night, but it occurred to me, like, I can't remember a year where, like, the Hawks and the Bulls started, and I haven't paid, you know, as much attention as normally. And so I thought it might be fun to have, you know, callers call up and just tell us what we've missed. You know, who looks good for the Bulls? Who looks good for the Hawks? Who doesn't look good? New players, old players, coaches. But then I wanted to ask you, Joakim and D. Rose, were you at the UC?
312-981-7200. For those of you who are sick of the Cubs talk and you want to tell us what else is going on in the world, bring it on.
Well, you don't have to be sick of the Cubs talk, but just tell us what we've missed with the Blackhawks and the Bulls.
312-981-7200. I did go last night. Huge supporter of Joakim. Loved him. And I backed Derek too, despite even the summer, which was pretty disappointing and ugly. But weirdly honest, too. Like, he just flat out just talked about what he did. Yeah, I went third, and okay. I mean, that's just super uncomfortable. But that's how he went about it, because whatever. My point here is that the Bulls were very strategic last night in how they honored both those guys. First of all, in the introductions, they announced the three Knicks that were not former Bulls first, Carmelo and Porzingis and company. And then it was Noah. Crowd goes crazy, and then a 6'3 guard from Chicago, Derrick Rose. And I'd say like 60% cheers, 40% boos, maybe 75-25. You could hear the boos, but mostly cheers. Then they get in the game. Every time Derrick touches the ball coming down in the first quarter, they're booing him. Are you kidding me? Come on, man. This guy won an MVP for you.
Hey, right, Rookie of the Year.
He was the Rookie of the Year. He was by far the most exciting thing that you've had on the court since Michael.
Took you to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Heat.
He's from here. He rose out of the toughest part of the city, no pun intended.
You know,
you're going to boo him every time he touches the ball? That is some serious ungrateful BS. It really is. And you're going to blame Derek because he got hurt and he didn't come back to your satisfaction, or because he said some weird things?
See, I think that's it. You know, first of all, very good job at describing how they did that, because I was watching on TV and ESPN did not show the introductions, which I can't stand. I can't stand when you're watching the Cubs, you know, and they don't show, like, you know, the seventh inning, because when it was Kelly Pickler, I didn't care. Cubs done a great job of using Harry Carey, Ron Sano, Ernie Banks on the video board, or of having like a real Cubs fan, like, you know, Bill Murray, you know, saying take me out to the ballgame. But I couldn't believe ESPN didn't show the intro, so that was a cool explanation. I think it's not the fact that Rose was so fragile. I think it's the fact that he made comments like, hey, I might not play in every game because when my son graduates from high school, I don't want to be limping at the ceremony.
Right, maybe that's it. But see, then you should actually look at the actions and not the words. He came back, played 60-some-odd games last year. He had three knee surgeries, man. It's his life. Like, I just don't get it. And it's really classless in my mind to be booing the guy. You want to sit there and be silent? Okay, and I get it. You paid your money. You can do whatever you want. I hated hearing it. I hated it. But it was. And Noah, by the way, Derek on the court last night.
Oh, he was great.
He was great, but there and he got into it with one fan, but basically was nothing. Noah was like you would expect Joakim Noah to be, hardcore rooting for the Knicks, going at the Bulls, and then when he walked off the court, did you see that when he was
Yeah, slapped Derek's head.
Oh, he was going nuts. It meant the world to him to beat the Bulls last night.
16 points. You know, he does so much on the floor. He's oftentimes the best defender in the game and, you know, NBA Defender of the Year a couple seasons ago. He gives 200% every game. But 16 points last night for a Joakim Noah. Was it – I'm trying to think who he hit in the face. Was it Miritich? That one time they called his first foul of the game. In the second quarter, the ball was going out of bounds. The Bulls were up against the shot clock.
Yeah, yeah.
And Joakim was, I believe, with Miritich going for a loose ball, and they called a foul on Noah. And Joakim's like, what? A foul for that? And they show the replay like he slugged the guy. Pretty sure it was Nikolai.
I, to be honest, I don't remember that moment in time. I think I was weeping watching two former Bulls.
So weird seeing them on the court. You know, Knicks uniforms.
One positive from last night. I know people aren't paying close attention, I don't think, to the NBA quite yet, but Dwayne Wade.
Oh.
Oh, he didn't play any defense last night, but offensively, this guy's killing it. He's 5 for 7 from 3, scoring 35.
For the season, he's 10 of 19 from behind the arc. Last year, the entire season, D Wade 7 3-pointers. This year, he's already got 10.
We got some texts coming. It's amazing. Yes, he's been working with Fred. Not fading on his three, and it's making a difference. People texting in here, another team accomplished a milestone after 108 years on Wednesday night when the Cubs won the World Series, the Montreal Canadiens, Harry.
Saw it.
They beat the Canucks 3-0 on Wednesday night to achieve the best start ever, 9-0-1 since their inception, also in 1908. But last night they laid an egg for the ages. They lost 10-0 to the Blue Jackets.
10-0. They lost 10-0 to one of the worst teams in hockey, one of the worst teams in sports. Sorry, Saad.
219. My goodness. You want to get some negativity here? They won, in capital letters, they won the World Series. Take your meds and enjoy the victory. I know it's hard to let go of that familiar feeling of being part of a losing team, but that's over now. None of that matters. Just enjoy today. Tomorrow has misery of its own.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I guess what that means is be in the moment because bad things are going to come in the future. So right now,
I don't think, you know, when the Bears won the Super Bowl, they, and you do a great job with Hamp here and Kaz before Bears games.
Thanks, Harry.
When the Bears, I love Glenn Kozlowski. When the Bears won the Super Bowl in January of 86, I thought this was the first of many, and they never went back. I don't think that's going to happen with the Cubs.
Neither do I. A lot of people texting in that Rose deserves the booze. I'm going to respectfully disagree, but I get it. I mean, I heard it. Guess they're just going to boo Derek every time he comes back to town for the rest of time. Boo. Kerry Wood. Cub fans booed him, too, at different times.
Yep.
Cheered him overall, though. He'll be with us at 5:30. Back to the Cubbies, coming back here. They won the World Series, 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carmen, he's Harry Tynowitz. Cubs won the World Series. 312-981-7200. Should we hear from Kerry Wood, Kerry?
Yes. Kerry Wood, fifth start ever. He threw a 20-strikeout game, a one-hitter against the Houston Astros on a weekday afternoon. And I was there.
Were you there?
Yes. I had to leave early because I was interviewing Phil Hartman.
Okay.
Who would be murdered by his wife 3 weeks later, but that's another story. Kerry Wood was one of the, like, greatest phenoms to ever come and play for the Cubs. And he backed it up with that 20-strikeout performance. Still a record. He's tied for the record, but it's still a major league record, 20 strikeouts.
I remember seeing you in that Cubs clubhouse back in those days with Matt Karchner, Mark Grace.
Oh, yeah.
And
who's my favorite Cub in those days?
Rod Beck.
I love the shooter, but
Jeff Flauser,
number 40, most innings pitched in the 90s, wins in the 90s, most strikeouts in the 90s. He pitched the wild card win over the Giants.
You're talking about Steve Traxel, good at number 46.
Talking about Trax.
All right, let's. Well, actually, okay, we're running out of timer, so we'll do Woody right after 5:30. But yes, okay. That was. Those were the days, man. How did we get to 98? Oh, because Kerry. Kerry, here we'll play my brief conversation with him after 5:30. But he's in such a good mood after the game, right? They've just won the World Series, but he's also like trying to stay out of the way because it's he didn't play
right.
Obviously, but he's getting emotional with some of the, and you'll hear it, some of the strength coaches. I think Tim Buss is coming up to him, giving him a big bear hug, and John Lackey is out of his mind like almost instantly. I think we'll be able to hear the audio. He's like, come here, big boy.
That's awesome. You know, 98, the Cubs kind of fluked in the last week. It came down to the last day of the season. And then the next year, they re-signed Gary Gaetti. And, a lot of people thought, well, that's kind of weird. We didn't know he had that many games left.
I think they signed him to a five-year deal.
Oh, couldn't have been that long.
No, they gave him 1 year.
They gave him 1 year, right.
But
you kind of felt like they fluked in and they're not going to be great in 99. Whereas right now.
Oh, we're winning it all, Harry.
It feels like the Cubs are up for a nice little run here. The word, I won't say the word, but it rhymes with shinesty.
Three-peat. Cubs are the World Series champions. To commemorate this very historic event, BigTimeBats.com releasing the World Series champions. Chicago Cubs officially licensed team signature bat. Full-size bat will have the facsimile signatures of the Cubs team roster, the World Series champion logo, and the words 2016 World Series champions. Full-size bat measures 35 inches, weighs 32 ounces. Limited 10,000 individually numbered bats. They sell for $129.95. Call Big Time Bats now, 866-481-BATS. Or see it and other Cubs collectible bats, BigTimeBats.com. 866-481-BATS. That's your phone number. 30-day money-back guarantee. Call BigTimeBats.com now, 866-481-BATS. And you can ask about their special World Series Champs 3-bat sets with a free 3-bat display. Don't delay. These bats will sell out. Sell out. Thank you. 866-481-BATS. Kerry Wood coming up, 720 WGN.
Just the game, for I've seen other teams and it's never the same. When you're born in Chicago, you're blessed and you're healed. The first time you walk into Wrigley Field, our heroes wear pinstripes, heroes in blue. Give us the chance to feel like heroes too. Forever we'll win.
I was walking down Sheffield Avenue yesterday after the rally downtown, going to my car. This huge, huge scene obviously still there yesterday, and apparently the Cubs had a big-time party in there. There's some great videos of drunk Cubs in Wrigley Field. I highly recommend the Javi Baez one. But I was just walking down Sheffield, going all Eddie Vedder, felt really nice, and kind of melancholy all at the same time.
You know, he's played Wrigley Field before, but I think when he does it this summer or the next time that Eddie Vedder is in concert there, it will be something special that he's on that field where the world champion Cubs play.
Yeah, he was in the dugout in the Game 6 victory in the NLCS. Kerry Wood was sitting there. Vedder's running around like he's 5 years old. It was pretty cool. So let's hear from Kerry Wood. This is Woody after the Game 7 victory in Cleveland in the clubhouse. Kerry Wood, now also a World Series champion.
Kerry Wood, the roller coaster of tonight. How'd you handle it?
I didn't handle it very well at all. I was just telling somebody else. I wish it was a lot easier to be down there in the dugout in a uniform than being up in the stands watching it. But I mean, what a game for both fan bases to get a chance to watch. Postseason Game 7, World Series, and you go extra innings and get a little rain delay in there, too. So it was an exciting game, to say the least.
Apparently, in the rain delay, they came in here and talked about picking each other up. And I guess Jason Hayward gave a speech. That sounds like a winning team to me.
Well, these guys, I mean, listen, we knew what kind of team this was. These guys have meshed from day one. And I mean, now that I get a chance to be around them a little bit here at the end of the season, you see the families. And the families are all, I mean, these guys are one big unit. So I think it speaks volumes to what Theo and Jed and...
It's John Lackey. He had 5 Budweisers he was carrying. That's John Lackey, by the way.
John!
Mark G and Greco trying to get John Lackey.
Party with the boys.
The big John Lackey.
John Lackey. Oh, God, what a horse he is. I was actually a little bit surprised. I thought we were going to see him a little bit at the end tonight. I saw a couple guys in the rain delay walking down to the pen. I couldn't tell who it was, but... I mean, it speaks volumes to the team. I mean, you got Carl Edwards coming in, close the game out, and that's the biggest game of anyone's life. And he was in there and looked good and got a couple big outs.
So I'm sure you're managing along with the game. I mean, a lot of people were saying, Joe, what are you doing? I mean, that's just that everyone's going to do it.
I think we all were questioning, you know, looking like, oh my God, Hendricks has 60-something pitches, and you know he looked good. But listen, I don't think at any point anyone can question what Joe does anymore. I think he's just got the magic card, and he does it right. And obviously, these guys believe in every move he makes, and they get it. They got it done.
Last one, Woody. Does it feel like a weight's lifted off the franchise yourself?
No, I mean, I don't know if there was anything lifted off. I think 03, 07, 08, I think we had good teams.
Yeah! Yes! We did it! You did it. We did it!
Those are the guys I'm happy for. Clubhouse guys. I mean, these guys have been around our biggest cheerleaders for the last 20 years, and these guys get to... It's fun to see these guys celebrate.
It's cool to see the emotion on you, just somebody like that who's been there your whole career, right?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we're a family. We go through the ups and downs, and, you know, a lot of these guys haven't gone through too many downs yet, but there's some of us in here that went through a lot of downs. Take care. And it's just great to see these guys enjoying it and finally getting to celebrate.
I'll let you enjoy with your guys, but just one, number 10, little Ronnie Sano right now.
Listen, I had his jersey on the whole postseason and been thinking about him the whole way through.
Kerry Wood and company in the clubhouse, Harry Tynowitz.
You know, Woody talked about the 03, the 07, the 08 teams being pretty good. The greatest team that never got to the World Series was the 1984 Cubs. Were the 1984 Cubs. The 84 Cubs had 2 of the 3 best starting pitchers in baseball. People remember Sutcliffe. Redbeard went 16-1. And Dwight Gooden was a monster for New York. But it's like he was on something. But people forget Steve Trout. Steve Trout was great. Steve Trout was awesome that year. And they had the Daily Double, they had Sarge, they had, we remember his botched play in San Diego, but Durham had a terrific year. Keith Moreland, Zonk was fantastic. The 84 team is the one that hurts the most.
But, right, if you compare that team, though, to this club and how versatile and how it's no comparison, right?
No comparison. But this club also didn't fail. This club, today, are world champions. Right. They've let every Cub fan live the dream. My dad is 90 years old, and he usually turns in fairly early. He stayed up for the whole game. I mean, my dad waited a lifetime to see the Cubs win the World Series, and he's a Sox fan.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Pops was up.
Yeah.
92, did you just say?
90. Mom is 82, and she's loved the Cubs her whole life. But I think Mom thought that she was watching the Kennedy debate with Nixon.
That's okay.
Yeah.
It's just cool to see guys like Woody and Ryan Dempster both on the station.
Yes.
Who feel attached to the team, around the team. Dempster was in the clubhouse as well.
They all do.
And Billy Williams, people talking about Billy yesterday and getting kind of a little teary-eyed. Number 26. Who's your all-time favorite Cub, Harry?
Oh, boy, the next one I get to see is my all-time favorite Cub. Well, I mean, I grew up, my first memory of the Cubs, my first game I ever went to, I was 1970, May 27th, 1970. But my first team I ever watched was the 69 Cubs. So, I mean, that's the team I loved. And Mr. Cub, Ernie Banks, was, you know, he's got to be my favorite player of all time. I have some other, like Milt Pappas. Got to know Milt. Milt's, you know, Milt's one of the people that helped make it rain in Game 7.
Milt got it done.
Yeah, Milt still is the last.
Milt, Ronnie, Ernie. Who do you think had the plan up there? Who do you think was like, you know, we need the rain?
It wasn't Harry. Harry was mixing drinks. But Milt, even though Zambrano's the last Cub to throw a no-no, Milt is still the last Cub to throw a no-no. I'm sorry, Arrieta's the last Cub to throw a no-no. Obviously, he's thrown two. But Milt's still the last Cub to throw a no-no at Wrigley Field.
Fair. That's a good point. Was in Cincinnati. Was in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Nine starts apart. We're going to play a little bit of Jason Hayward and his meeting with the Cubs.
That's awesome.
We'll do that. We'll wrap it up. We'll get you ready for Preps Plus. I'm going to hug Harry. Cubs won the World Series.
I'm going to hug back.
Thank you. 720 WGN. Is this the Gary Pressey version of Hey, Hey, Holy Mackerel?
That's just the instrumental break in the normal version.
It's Dan Long, producer extraordinaire, superstar Cub fan. Dan, what was your favorite moment of the run?
Oh, man. Now you're putting me on the spot.
I like to do that, but I did mention that I would ask you this about 4 hours ago.
I'm going
to
go the NLCS games 4 and 5, and you could count 6 in that, too, the resurgence of Addison Russell.
How many moments is that, Harry?
That was 3, but he covered his butt by saying the resurgence of Addison Russell. So his favorite moment, as his legal representative, his favorite moment was the AR resurgence.
Dan Long's one of the greatest Cub fans I've been around. He was. What did you have after the... I think you had a Heineken after one huge victory. You had...
There was plenty of Heineken flowing all month.
Did you hang out with Sam Panionovich after a Cubs victory?
No, we did hang out after a Hawks and Preps Plus shift for both of us.
Okay. Just want to make sure that you're not commingling with Sox fans after a huge Cub wins.
Cub games, I'm isolated.
Okay. Sam Pan will be here at 6 o'clock.
Sam Pan's brother, part of the three-headed no-hitter thrown in the rookie ball White Sox no-hitter just about 2 months ago.
That was an awesome accomplishment for the Panionovich family. Saw him Facebooking, tweeting about it. I want you guys to be honest. Harry, did you cry when they won?
I did not cry when they won, but I was like in another world. I was like, you know, kids don't get buzzed, but you know, unless the Cubs win the World Series. But it felt like I was, you know, like in another place, like I was on something, like I was watching myself. I couldn't believe it. And the texts were coming in and Twitter was great. And I was hearing from people that I haven't heard from in 30 years. And when Rajay Davis hit that home run and they Cleveland tied at 6-6, you know, my heart dropped. And then when the Cubs come back, when they came back and they won the World Series, it's like I was just bouncing up and down off the walls. And for a guy that spent his life in bars watching games, it was so great to be with my kids watching this game. And I just hope my kids remember, you know, what it was. And my daughter went to the parade yesterday.
Oh, go Lucy. Way to get it done.
Oh, so great.
Dan, any tears?
No tears. Not until I got close during Rizzo's speech at the parade rally, but not when it actually, yeah, like Harry said, it was more kind of just kind of soaking everything in when it actually happened.
I cried when Rizzo spoke and cried. What about you? Any tears?
The final out, I had a little bit of a meltdown, just kind of slumped over and felt it. I mean, I didn't have any like super flowing moments of pure expression that I would have really enjoyed having. I didn't get to that level. But well, I think what Dan's talking about, where you just, you know, you feel it all over you. I always looked at people that would cry in those moments like, how is that even possible? How could you possibly be crying? But then I think it was just so much pain that I was holding on the potential that they were going to lose. Like I felt bad for bringing anyone around the team. Like I put out a Facebook post like of all these people that I, you know, that we were on this journey together. And then it's like, I almost like felt guilt like, God, I brought you all into this and it's just so brutal.
You know, it got me thinking about my grandpa, my Uncle Howard. It got me, you know, and everybody's like this. Everybody's thinking about, you know, people that they have lost that weren't around for it. It's such an emotional thing. It was so much more than just winning a World Series. It was vindication. It was like a shot of medication for the heart. It's reason to believe. I mean, if the Cubs can win the World Series, anything can happen.
Well, and that's I'm seeing a ton of that out there where people are looking at different challenges in their life and saying, hey, man, these guys rose up against it. I can do whatever I'm up against, too. If that's actually something that people put into motion, that'd be really, really cool. Because we all have our battles, right? Nothing's easy out there. Harry, I know it hasn't been perhaps the smoothest of sailing for you. I'm on the roller coaster with you.
Oh, you're doing awesome, man. Great job. I've been listening to you guys doing the special shows late night after the Cubs, and sometimes those would start early. That's got to be the hardest thing in the world, starting a show in the ninth inning where you can't talk about what's happening in the game.
Yes, but still great fun.
But still great fun, and you got to go to the clubhouse in Cleveland. It's it's spectacular that the Cubs won the World Series, and I do believe this won't be like the Bears when they won the Super Bowl.
No, we're going three-peat, and we predicted, right on the show that they were going to come back from 3-1 down and do it. We did that in the post-game shows.
Sunday night.
Right? You were all in.
I was all in.
I mean, that happened. People called in. We played Won't It Be Cool When? Rolled it. Hey, real quick, Jason Hayward, who saved the season with his meeting, despite getting nary a hit in the postseason, two of them, here he was in the clubhouse afterwards. Jason Hayward, you've been a leader for this team all season long. Did you feel like, hey, this is me, I'm the one that should be talking right now, or was it about that?
No, not me. I feel like we've had a number of guys say things throughout the year. It just happened to be a moment in the season, in the game, where I was feeling something for me personally, but at the same time, like, I wanted them to feel that stuff. I wanted them to know that. I wanted them to remember how good they are. I wanted them to know I love them because of how many things they've overcome and how selfless they've been throughout this whole process, because we have that many guys on this team that can help. Everybody can go be in there in any moment and win us the game, but I just needed them to hear that, and I knew it wasn't going to happen any other way at that point in time, but the rain delay kind of came at a perfect time, and this is not about, you know, me taking credit, or it's never been about any of the guys that speak up and say something taking credit. It's just, hey, you guys need to know that, how good you are. You won 103 games for a reason, and you guys have done everything you can to be in this point, and I want you to enjoy it. Don't stop doing that.
So you didn't know what you were going to say, but you were just basically speaking from the heart.
That's it. I mean, that's what we all have done. That's what we all do. We don't play any games or tricks about it. We speak from the heart. Everybody's different on this team. You know, there's a lot of different personalities, and we have fun with that and embrace it. It was just kind of, I guess, you know, one of the times where I said something and it just needed to be said.
And the roller coaster for you tonight, what was going through the head before you got in there on the field?
Just have fun, man. We can't wait for this game to get here. You know, going to sleep last night, can't wait for the game to get here. You know, it's the last game of the year, but we just want to play baseball. You know, we just want to have fun, and that's what we've done all year. That's what we did tonight. Obviously, it was a tough game to win, but that's what you want. You know, you want to be on the biggest stage. You want to beat the best. You want the competition to bring the best out of you. And we had to beat the best team in the game tonight.
Did you guys do like a group hug with some of your teammates that maybe were a little bit down during that delay?
No, not really a group hug. I mean, we just kind of spoke to each other and like, hey, if we felt like anybody was putting too much pressure, like, stop, because it's not just you. You can't do it by yourself. We all have to do it.
So that was Jason Hayward. The reason why I asked about the group hugs is because hearing they were all side by side.
Yeah, a small weight room.
Right. And I guess maybe by his definition, that wasn't necessarily a group hug, but whatever. Circle, the whole thing. Jay Hay.
Jason, there's so many great moves Theo made. Right now, the Hayward move doesn't look so great. 8 years, $184 million, but he gave the pep talk that won the World Series.
Worth every penny. Pay him $300 million. He called the meeting. I think that's a win. So there he was, Jay Hay. All that stuff's going to go up online, by the way, the full interview. We had to cut some of that off because Preps Plus is just walking in the studio. Sam Panionovich is here, produced by Joey Gelman, wearing his Illinois hat, who beat Michigan State today. A minor miracle.
They were due.
All right, so we'll take our final time. I'll talk to Sam, 720 WGN.